Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in college, I worked at a summer camp, and we started each day with something we called First Word. It was right before breakfast, and we'd gather all the campers together, and really it just gave time for the tables to get set. But we gather everybody together for a quick Bible reading, a skit, a couple of songs, sort of set the tone for the day. And one of the songs that we occasionally did goes like this. In the morning, we're persistent. In the morning, we persist. When we pray, we're persistent. No ceasing. Rejoice always. Not the most lyrically complex song. It does work, however, for helping campers wake up for breakfast. And it pops in my head occasionally, in the morning, we're persistent. And I'm reminded of that song every time I hear this parable. In the morning, we persist. Sometimes when Jesus tells these parables, these stories with a point, we have to sort of dig for the meaning, and there's lots of interpretations. Not so much this one, because Luke, as the narrator, gives us the moral right at the beginning of the gospel reading. He tells us what the parable means. According to Luke, Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose hope. Once upon a time, Jesus says, there was a judge. We know what a judge is, right? A judge is supposed to be somebody who cares about the law, somebody who makes decisions about how to apply the law to tough situations, making sure everybody gets treated as fairly as possible. Well, not this judge. And I don't know if this guy is a political appointee or if he was elected, or maybe judging is the family business, he's just carrying it on. But something somewhere went wrong, because this judge is not very good at his job, and he knows it too. This guy has no respect for justice. He doesn't care at all about fairness, which of course ought to be the baseline for being a judge. He does not fear God, Jesus tells us, and he has no respect for people. He's really a terrible judge. Then next, we meet the second character, a widow, who has some kind of a legal problem. And Jesus does not say anything about what her particular issue is. That's not the point. But it's something this judge ought to be able to fix, at least if he were any kind of a decent judge or decent human being even. But he's not. He is unjust, and he really could not care less about this woman's problem. But she is persistent. This widow refuses to give up in her quest for justice, even though the one with the power to help her refuses to care. And so it says she comes back over and over and over and over again, petitioning him to grant her justice against her opponent, over and over and over. And eventually he gets so tired of listening to her, so worn out by her persistence, that he gives in and he does the right thing. And so, if persistence can wear down even a terrible, unjust judge like this, Jesus says, imagine how much more God will give justice. It's not that God is an unjust judge who gets worn down by constant prayer petitions. Jesus' point is that God is so much better than this guy, this human example of a judge. We don't need to manipulate God with particular formulas of prayer or wear God out with long-winded prayers. We keep praying not to wear God out, but because we trust the promise, God is listening to us. God is working for justice. And yet, we don't always get clear, immediate answers to our prayers. In fact, it's a lot easier to find examples of injustice, broken parts of the world, places where we would love for God to act. A lot easier to find those examples than it is to find examples of clear and obvious, indisputable answers to prayer. So what do we do as people of faith? When we see problems in the world, when we encounter challenges in our own lives, how do we respond? Where do we look for help? Do we keep calling on God, or do we give up and look elsewhere? Psalm 121, Or you've read Psalm 121. This is why we need Karen. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? Where do we look for help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The same God who created the universe, who set the world in motion, has the power to act, to intervene. God is the only one who can act and intervene. And I love the promise in verse 4. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. That is a powerful promise. God does not grow tired of watching over us. God does not grow tired of listening to our prayers. Again, God is not like that unjust judge. And we need that promise because there are times when it can feel to us like God maybe has fallen asleep or gotten distracted. And that, I think, is why this widow in Jesus' story is such a great example for us. As a widow, she is in a terrible place in her culture. Similar to that Israelite slave girl from last week's story, if you were here, this widow has no power. She has no public position. She has no authority. She can't do much of anything to change whatever injustice is happening to her and around her. And I wonder if we've ever felt like that, if you've ever felt like that, powerless to do anything about what's broken around you. And yet, rather than give up, she comes back again and again and again, seeking justice, refusing to give up. In the morning, she's persistent. She is a holy troublemaker, refusing to accept that the world is stuck the way it is. When she prays, she's persistent. That is what all of us are called to do in all circumstances. We are called to keep praying. We are called to be faithful and to back up our prayers with actions. Listen to this prayer from Thomas More. He's a 16th century Roman Catholic English martyr who hated Lutherans passionately. But I like his prayer. He prays, "Give us, Lord, a humble, quiet, peaceable, patient, tender, and charitable mind, and in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, a taste of the Holy Spirit. Give us, Lord, a lively faith, a firm hope, a fervent charity, a love of you. Take from us all lukewarmness in meditation, dullness in prayer. Give us fervor and delight in thinking of you and your grace, your tender compassion towards us. The things that we pray for, good Lord, give us grace to labor for. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." The things that we pray for, good Lord, give us grace to labor for. What a great thing to pray. May the injustice around us disturb us into laboring for justice, working for reconciliation, the building of God's kingdom. May we continue to persist and never give up, trusting that God is at work in and through and around us. And yet, as much as we do our best to follow that and remain faithful and keep working, as much as we try to follow the widow's example of persistence, each of us eventually falls short. We give up. Our persistence has its limits. That's human nature. In the morning, we're persistent, but sometimes the days get awfully long. Hear the promise in that first reading from Jeremiah. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." God is making a covenant, an agreement, formalizing a new relationship. "It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke." Remember, God has made covenants and treaties and formal agreements with people before. And every time, the people break them. We always fall short. Again, that's human nature. That's our bondage to sin. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. God persists even when our persistence falls short. When we fail, God forgives and remembers our sin no more. God does not grow tired of forgiving. In the morning, God's persistent. In the morning, God persists. And in the day and in the night, will not God grant justice to those who cry out day and night? This might be a little bit dangerous to say. I don't know if this is quite the right interpretation. But I wonder in this story if Luke as the narrator was wrong. Or at least if that's not the whole story. I wonder if perhaps this parable about this woman persistently pestering the unjust judge is not just about our need to pray always and not lose heart, so much as it is about showing us a glimpse of God's character. What if the widow in the story is the one illustrating what God is like, and not the judge? No matter how unjust things in the world get, God refuses to give up. God keeps crying out for justice, crying out for peace, crying out for the unjust to start acting with justice, crying out for the powerful to use their power to help the weak. Even when we abandon the covenant and we turn away, God does not grow tired or weary in the way we do. God persists. God persists in calling the sinful, calling us back to repentance, back to faith, making a new covenant that solely depends on God. God persists like a good shepherd in seeking out the lost sheep. God persists in calling us into action, calling us to work for justice and reconciliation. God persists in coming to us in the person of Jesus. Jesus persists in proclaiming love into a broken, violent, sinful world, persists even when that world condemns him to death. Thank God that our salvation depends on God's faithfulness and persistence, not on ours. May the Holy Spirit give us the strength to persist in faith, not losing heart, but looking to God for help. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.